My friends, I hope you're doing well. Today we're continuing our series, Chasing Wisdom, a journey through Proverbs. We're seeking God's wisdom together as we navigate the decisions of life and love and leadership. And today we're going to tackle the topic of leadership. Now, on the one hand, everything Proverbs says to everyone applies to leaders. If a leader fears the Lord, she'll be a better leader. If she trusts the Lord, she'll be a better leader. If she works with diligence and persistence, she'll be a better leader. Everything Proverbs says to everyone applies to leaders. But there are some truths, the book of Proverbs, that apply particularly to leaders. Many of you read one chapter a day of Proverbs each day last month. And you read the proverb, the Proverbs to which I'm referring. Now, I'm talking about the Proverbs meant for the king. See, there's a whole set of Proverbs woven throughout the book which call out the qualities of a king. Sure, some of those Proverbs speak specifically to the role of the king, but most of them are simply about authority, which means we have something to learn as leaders. Maybe you're leading a business or leading a department or leading a family or leading a friend group. Now, some watching may protest, I'm not a leader because you're not in a formal position of leadership. Well, if that's you, just remember, leadership is about influence. You don't have to be in charge to affect change. Actually, if you think about it for a moment, most of us are leading or will be leading in the near future. So let's see what the book of Proverbs has to say about leadership. Pray with me. Lord, in this moment we come to you with the friends and the families and the organizations we lead. And we ask you to teach us something today that makes us a better leader tomorrow. We want our leadership to affect change in our world, bringing up there, down here, leading in such a way that through our influence, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, show us something significant, even surprisingly relevant from the book of Proverbs today. We pray this in the name of King Jesus. Amen. Our world needs great leaders. I recently read a sobering article from a professor at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. In the article, the author identified over 200 scientists who claim the biggest threats in our future is what they call cascading crises. A cascading crisis occurs when one crisis creates another crisis, which worsens a different crisis before inflaming another crisis. Studies are showing signs of cascading crises around the globe, from extreme weather events to ecosystem collapse to food scarcity to water shortage. Their concern is that any global crisis might trigger or exacerbate another, creating a cascade of calamity. You know what I call that? 2020, that's what I call that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been our year. No kidding, the article that I read was published before the pandemic. Since that time, we've seen fires and floods and racism and rioting and hurricanes and tornadoes and a presidential election, which has gone super, super well without any conflict at all. Our world needs great leaders. In 1987, the U.S. War College, the U.S. Army War College, leaned on the transformational leadership theories of Warren Bennis and Bert Nanis to develop an acronym. It's VUCA. VUCA is used to describe the volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity of any given situation or circumstance. When life hands us VUCA, we need great leaders. Which means our world needs great leaders right now. But when we say things like that, we're often not thinking small enough. When we say our world needs great leaders, we usually think of heads of state and CEOs of Fortune 50 companies. But the fact of the matter is, most of our lives are shaped most significantly by the leaders right around us. I'm talking about parents and pastors and department heads. I'm talking about teachers and principals. I'm talking about friends and mentors who speak into our lives mostly because of their close proximity to us. It is in those positions we need great leaders too. And frankly, I want to be a great leader. As the lead pastor of this community, I want to be a great leader. I want to cast a compelling vision of our church's mission. I want to bring clarity amidst uncertainty. I want to bring calm amidst chaos. I want to promote and protect the culture of our community, identifying and inspiring great leaders within. And who am I kidding? Great leadership is contingent on great decisions. I want to be able to make the right decision at the right time with the right tone. And that will take wisdom. That's why the book of Proverbs is so fascinating. It provides wisdom, insight, discernment, and understanding. But it doesn't give it to us the way we want it. See, when I come to the book of Proverbs seeking wisdom, I find it doesn't tell me how to make good decisions. It tells me how to become the kind of person who makes good decisions. I spent this week going over and over the Proverbs pertaining to the king and those in authority. And I came to a conclusion. The book of Proverbs doesn't tell the king what to do. It tells the king who to be. And from these Proverbs, I've drawn a conclusion which may strike you as counterintuitive at first glance. Great leaders make great decisions. Good leaders make better ones. Great leaders make great decisions. Good leaders make better ones. You confused? You might be. You might be confused if you're thinking of one's quality of leadership on a sliding scale from good to great. But that's not how I'm defining good. And this model of thinking, greatness is about talent. Goodness is about temperament. Greatness is about charisma and creativity. Goodness is about character. Here's the good news. You don't have to choose. You don't have to choose between being a great leader and being a good leader. But the fact of the matter is, many of us do. And we sink all our time and energy into becoming great to the neglect of becoming good. But if the wisdom of Proverbs offers any indication, God is more concerned with me becoming a good leader than me becoming a great leader. He's got a great reason. Great leaders make great decisions. Good leaders make better ones. When we come to the wisdom of Proverbs, we might expect the sages to advise kings to accrue vast amounts of wealth, to raise up an immense army. We're talking swords and shields, chariots and horses. But Proverbs offers a king another path. Proverbs 20 and verse 28. Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. Now, these aren't the first qualities we think of in a job description of a leader, but maybe they should be. Love, in both lines, translates the Hebrew word chesed. Chesed is a word with a robust meaning. There's no single word in English that can accurately translate it, so we usually have to supplement it with adjectives. Steadfast love, unfailing love, unceasing love. The key is chesed is a love that's committed. It's stable. You can bank on it. It's not contingent on mood swings or P&Ls. But does this sound like any leader you've ever worked for? Does this sound like a leader you'd even want to be? Well, your answer at first may be no, and I understand why. You might need a few questions answered first, such as, will a leader with unceasing love get walked on or taken advantage of? Does leading with love allow you to make a profit? If you lead with a love that never fails, can you ever fire someone or demote someone? Or do you just need to give them another chance and another and another? Now, if you thought any of those things about love, it is perfectly understandable because our society has embraced an insipid and diluted definition of love. But love is not giving people everything they want. Love is not about pleasing people or even making them happy. Love is the will to do good for someone. You want what's best for them. Sometimes that's a raise. Sometimes that's a reprimand. Good leaders know grace without truth isn't love. The key is having an unswerving commitment of care for people, the people that God's entrusted to you. The best leaders, whether they're coaches or consultants or managers or moms, the best leaders show that love even when it's not shown back to them. See, chesed is a generous love. It's a love that gives when the gift can't be reciprocated. It's a love that serves when the leader can't be served in return. A leader who leads with unceasing love is fiercely committed to the growth of the people who report to her, even if that growth has to happen outside her company. The point is, that leader truly cares about the individual. Now, the leaders who lead like that are some of the best leaders who make some of the best decisions, and people want to work for them. People want to stay working for them. One of the top priorities of a leader is recruiting and retaining talented team members. Well, this is one of the best ways to do it. John Maxwell stated the truth plainly. People quit people, not companies. Sure, some people move on for more money or a position that better suits their talents and trajectory. But team members who leave organizations with leaders who lead with unfailing love do so reluctantly. If you're a leader who's losing people left and right, ask yourself the hard question. Do I love the people I lost? Notice I didn't ask, do I like the people I lost? I'm asking, did I love them? Look back at the verse 28 of Proverbs 20. Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. Faithfulness translates the Hebrew word emet. If someone is emet, he's stable. He's trustworthy. She's proven herself reliable. You can count on her. Emet is one of the chief characteristics of God. He's trustworthy and true. And that goes for what he says too. God is truth and he brings truth. And when he does, you could trust that his words hold up. They're true to how life's supposed to work. Well, so as disciples of Jesus, let's lead like Jesus. What is a leader like who's faithful? Well, it means they're consistent. It means you can depend on them to be true to their values, even in volatile times, even in a pandemic. They're not erratic, they're reliable. They're consistently doing what needs doing. What no one feels like doing. These are the qualities of leaders whose organizations and teams and families remain secure. They have unceasing love. Exhibit faithfulness. Oh, yeah. Talent is great. And great leaders make great decisions. But good leaders make better ones. Here are more proverbs about leadership. Proverbs 16, verse 10. The lips of a king speak an oracle, and his mouth does not betray justice. Justice is the Hebrew word mishpat. It refers to fair treatment of every person, regardless of social status or gender or race. Again and again through scripture, God calls on his people to offer equal treatment to all people, especially the vulnerable. God is particularly concerned about the vulnerable. Well, mishpat is life the way God designed it to be lived. When God works justice on behalf of his people, it means he's righting what's wrong, rescuing the exploited, restoring his order to the earth. And he blesses leaders who lead like him. Proverbs 16, verse 11. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Good leaders never fudge their expense reports. Good leaders never cheat on their taxes. Verse 12, kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Now, righteousness translates the Hebrew word tzedakah. We looked at this word back in August. Tzedakah is doing the right thing according to our relationships to God and to others. One of my former professors, John Goldengate, prefers to translate this word faithfulness because it means being faithful to your commitments. It means doing right by somebody. Now, if you're only focused on winning by stepping on people on your way to the top, you will eventually lose. Oh, you may climb high, but you will fall hard. Not talking about karma. Talking about how life works. Here's another insight from Maxwell. Few leaders are successful unless a lot of people want them to be. See, good leaders do right by people. They're quick to affirm. They never take credit for the work of others. They're people who treat others with dignity and respect by taking the time to listen to them. To be sure, we should do things to become great leaders. Let's get better at leading meetings. Let's get better at strategic thinking. Let's get better at asking the right question at the right time to the right person. But while we're getting better at all those things, let's become better people. Because great leaders make great decisions, but good leaders make better ones. Here's another proverb about good leadership. Proverbs 29, verse 4. By justice, a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. We talked about justice a few moments ago, but consider the contrast in this proverb in the second line. It's simple. Here it is. Good leaders put the organization above themselves. Great leaders don't always do that, honestly. See, a good leader won't put their ambition over the success of the organization's mission. A good leader won't place their personal comfort over the shared goals of the team. A good leader will sacrifice ego and accolade if it means the vision and values of the organization can be celebrated and sustained. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but the qualities we've discussed thus far are all character traits of God, even the last one. Some people think of God as an egotistical entity seeking worship and adoration with little concern for his creation. Well, to be sure, God has the right to do that if he wanted to. But the picture of God painted in Scripture is one of a God who serves his people. We see it most perfectly in Jesus, who lays down his life so we can live. Here's the takeaway. Good leaders act like God. They don't act like a God. Do you follow that? Good leaders act like God. They don't act like a God. See, there's something inside a good leader that makes them different than a merely great leader. And not only are they selfless, they're humble. Good leaders don't always have to be the one with all the answers. Some people picture great leaders sitting in their corner offices, pulling the levers of power by themselves, making massive decisions that affect people and plans and production deadlines. People see that kind of leadership and call it great. But good leaders know better. Good leaders are humble leaders who consult other leaders. We see this again and again in Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. Proverbs 24, verse 6. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. One of the most widely respected church leaders today is a man named Andy Stanley. I've learned a lot from him about leadership, but one of the most important things I've learned is found in a simple confession that explains how he manages his team. Stanley says, "I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm just the leader."
A lot of great leaders
know they're great, and they think they're smarter and more talented than the people around them. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are great, but that doesn't make them good. And good leaders know that even great leaders need help. Here's a word of caution from Andy. Beware. Leaders who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing helpful to say. If you want your company to be successful, if you want your marriage to be successful, surround yourself with many counselors. Should you be wary of putting too many cooks in the kitchen? Of course. But some of us don't have enough cooks in the kitchen, and we've been settling for Pop-Tarts and powdered mac and cheese that we didn't even stir properly. Come on. Now, I've never been more thankful for my board and my team than I am during this stupid pandemic. Look, you may not agree with every call we made. Heck, we don't agree with every call we made. Meaning, in every meeting, whether I'm gathering with our staff or with our board, we debate. No, it's not heated, because we believe everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. But we disagree openly. We ask questions of each other like, what am I missing? That's especially true, or it's especially important that I do this as a leader. I've got to make ideological conflict safe, particularly if someone disagrees with me. I'll say, somebody push back. Devil's avocado. Somebody help me kick the tires of this idea. And when they do, we're all better because of it. Do we reach 100% consensus? Almost never. But when we make a decision, we feel better about it after we've looked at it from all the other angles. See, individual intellect is not all it's cracked up to be. Great leaders make great decisions, but good leaders make better ones. Let me give you another example. Proverbs 16, verse 13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Okay, on the surface, this proverb appears to simply mean that a good leader won't surround himself with liars. And to be sure, that's very true. However, there's more going on in this proverb. It's not just that a good leader surrounds himself with people who tell the truth. A good leader surrounds himself with people who tell him the truth. See, a good leader has the character and the courage within to receive negative feedback from the people who report to her and from the people who report to the people who report to her. Here's the philosophy of that kind of leader. Proverbs 24, verse 26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Mind you, the proverb is a little less effective in a pandemic, but understand its intent. A good leader has the humility to hear truth. A good leader has the humility to seek truth. No, I'm not suggesting you surround yourself with a bunch of jerks who back over you with the truth bus. I'm suggesting you cultivate a culture on your team and in your home where it's safe to speak up, or better still, where it's rewarded to speak up. And while you do so, you'll need to be aware of the opposite occurrence. Many leaders create a culture in which they encourage people to tell them what they want to hear. And the sages who collected these proverbs warn leaders against this foolishness in the book of Proverbs. Honest lips are often contrasted with flattering lips. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 29, verse 5. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. My friend, if you have created a culture in which your team or your spouse or your friends can't speak truth to you, you will pay dearly. You probably already are, and you just don't know it yet. See, good leaders, as in leaders who have character and courage within, know that if they want to become great leaders, they need to surround themselves with people who will tell them how they can become great by showing them how they're not so great. At the end of a meeting, good leaders pull a couple trusted team members aside and ask, name one thing I could have done differently in that meeting to make it better. Good leaders have a standing order for their teams to speak truth. They ask for it all the time, and they reward when they receive. They embrace the insight of this proverb, Proverbs 28, verse 23. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor, rather than one who has a flattering tongue. See, good leaders know when a leader gets better, everybody gets better. So they get better by getting better data on themselves. See, talent won't help you do that. Education isn't enough. You gotta have the inner fortitude, the determination, the resolve, the humility to make it safe, to seek it out, and listen when you don't feel like listening. Supervisors, CEOs, managers, and coaches, don't miss out on the opportunity to be coached by someone who you're responsible to coach. They have experience you will never have because they know what it's like to work for you. They've experienced the wake of your sailboat. They see the blind spots you can't see, and they see them from an angle that's unfamiliar to you, but true of you nonetheless. I'm telling you the truth, talent isn't everything. And while great leaders make great decisions, good leaders make better ones. So let's surround ourselves with truth tellers. Now, you don't just have to look to the Bible to find the truth I'm touting. Countless secular studies of leadership are saying the same thing. I've spent the last 6 months working through some of the most influential articles of the Harvard Business Review from the last two decades. I'm pleasantly surprised to see again and again they point to leaders who are humble, loving listeners. Many of you read Jim Collins' modern classic, Good to Great. The book encapsulates the results from a data-driven research study that identified successful companies and determined why they outperformed their competitors and the stock market again and again and again. Well, it's like Collins lifted his lessons directly from the Proverbs. The companies they studied are led by what he calls level five leaders. A level five leader is a leader who fiercely commits herself to the success of the organization, but does so with selfless resolve. It's not about me. Collins identifies the principle, first who, then what. He says successful organizations first get the right people on the bus before they decide where they're going to drive the bus. Victory is won through many advisors. Collins says leaders of successful organizations aren't afraid to confront the brutal facts. The wise leader seeks truth tellers. He surrounds himself with people who will speak truth, especially when it's hard to hear. I'm telling you, great leaders make great decisions. Good leaders make better ones. Hear me, friends. Don't settle for being great when you can be good too. History is riddled with examples of great leaders who weren't good. Want an example? Adolf Hitler. By many metrics, he was a great leader. He was a charismatic communicator, a visionary, an inspirational leader with a voracious work ethic who cast a compelling vision of a future. He seemed to millions to have the right answers in a rough season. Leadership is about influence, and Hitler's influence was enthralling. Oh, it was great. But may our Lord help us, it wasn't good. Andy Stanley offers us one more warning. Your talent and giftedness as a leader have the potential to take you farther than your character can sustain you. That ought to scare you.
Friends, that may explain why so many great leaders burn out and blow up. Here's the truth. The most important person you will ever lead is you. Here's a corollary to that truth. The most difficult person you will ever lead is you. So get God's help. Let God work on your soul. See what that does to your mind. See what that does to your creativity. See what that does to your leadership prowess. See, if you compartmentalize God out of your leadership, you're not as good a leader as you could be. You might be a great leader, but being a great leader doesn't mean you're a good leader. You definitely want to be both. Years ago, I heard Mark Batterson say this. He said, "My desire is that the people who know me the best respect me the most." Oh, Mark's so right. And I pray that could be true of me someday. I've had the privilege of serving this church for quite a little while now, and I've had some team members who have served with me, some for well over a decade. And oh God, they know me. They're my brothers, they're my sisters. I think of Tara, who's worked with me for 12 years, Kelly, who's worked with me for 11 years. I think of Mackenzie, who I met when she was 17 years old. Good night. I'm getting old. That's the first takeaway. But the second one is this. It's a prayer. Lord, may I become the kind of leader who the people who are around me, the people who know me the best, may they be able to look to me and respect me the most, because not just greatness, as great as I want to be, and believe me, I want to be great, but God help me, I need to be good. And I pray that's true of you too. Let's pray. Lord, in this moment, I pray for my friends who are watching this in their homes, running around the neighborhood on a podcast. I pray for my friends who are watching this around the world. All right, now we have friends watching this from Atlanta. We have friends watching this from India. We have friends who are seeing this around the globe. And as flawed as my words are, I pray they inspire those people. I pray they inspire those people to do everything they can do by the power of your Holy Spirit to become good leaders, not just great ones. Yeah, give them opportunities to grow so they can become great. Because you want us to do great things. But as we become great, we have to become good so that we don't hurt people with our greatness. Lord, give us a love for people, the people that report to us, the people in our organizations, especially those who annoy the devil out of us. May we show them that chesed, that wonderful, unceasing, unfailing love that you've shown us. How many times have we annoyed you? Yet you respond with love, with faithfulness, with righteousness. It's who you are. I pray it becomes who we are. Lord, make us selfless leaders who put our families, who put our marriages, who put our kids, who put our organizations, who put our teams ahead of ourselves. May we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility put the needs of others ahead. Just like you did. Just like you did, our King Jesus. who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but you made yourself nothing. Taking on the form of a servant. Giving up not just your rights, but your life so we could live. Thanks for showing us how to lead. God, make us humble people who have the courage to surround ourselves with truth tellers who will speak up and speak out. May we welcome it. May we celebrate it. May we make it safe at all points. It's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. It's going to take bravery. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we tap into that. And so we pray you help us to do that. Lord, now I know there are people who are watching this who don't know you. And but they came to listen. They came to observe. They came to learn. They came out of curiosity. God, I pray that as we talk about leadership today, that most importantly, I hope they're inspired. I hope they're challenged. But most importantly, I pray they got a glimpse of who you are, so they might put their hope in you and entrust their entire lives to you. That's our prayer. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, friends, I want to talk to you about some homework. Here we are. First assignment. Simply, pray for your leadership. If you go out there and try to be good tomorrow, it ain't gonna work, okay? You're gonna fail. You need God. I need God. So pray for your leadership. Pray that He would cultivate within you a love for the people you lead. Maybe you're called to lead a 4-year-old. Observation. 4-year-olds can be hard to love, even when they're cute. Maybe you're called to lead a 44-year-old. Observation, 44-year-olds can be equally hard to love. Ask God to help you love. Ask God to help you love them. Ask God to identify truth tellers in your life that you can raise up and get permission to speak into your life. Ask God to help you identify them. If you do, He'll bring your way, I promise. Ask him to. And then pray that He would keep you fiercely open to feedback. Make that an everyday prayer. Make that an everyday prayer so you don't live a life getting defensive, blaming, whenever you hear something negative about yourself. It's not okay. If you want to become great, you got to become good. And that goodness will require some humility. So pray that God will keep you open to feedback. Praying for your leadership is the first assignment. Here's your second one. Pray for your followers. Now, when I say pray for your followers, here's what I don't mean. I don't mean, oh God, make them better at their jobs. Okay, that's not a bad prayer. And I suppose you can pray it. It's just not what I mean right now. What I mean is to pray blessing on them. Pray that God will craft for them and in them a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Pray for the things that they're concerned about, that are heavy on their hearts. If you don't know what they are, for the sake of all that is good and righteous, please ask, because it's a good way to love people. Pray for your followers. Here are a couple books for you. The first one, I'm going to recommend the book Integrity by Henry Cloud. In fact, I wasn't planning to recommend this book, but my friend Matt, who helps me put together these slides every week, Matt I didn't know what books I was going to recommend, if I was going to even recommend any. So what Matt did when he was building out the slides before today, he said, Troy, I'm going to just drop a book in here in case you need it as a template so you can throw in a book a little later but before you teach the sermon. Well, it just so happened to be a really great book that was terribly apropos for the day. So Matt, thanks for the great recommendation. You can thank Matt for this one. This is one of my favorite books on leadership. Cloud in this book defines integrity as becoming a whole person. He offers six character qualities that are astonishingly relevant for leaders, okay? Pick up this book, it's one of my favorites. Here's another one, and I've really grown to love this book as well. It's called Leadership Gold by John Maxwell. Maxwell leads by axioms. He takes a truth of leadership and sums it up with a soundbite, just like the Proverbs, okay? I'm telling you something. You will grow as a leader simply by reading the table of contents. Here's a verse for you, and here's what I want you to do with this verse this week. Really, pray this verse. Pray this verse over yourself. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Make it your prayer this week. The image of that verse along with the following graphic will be available for you to download. And my word, you got to download this. I was telling my colleague Kelly, who designed this graphic. I'm like, when he sent it over to me yesterday, I'm like, this graphic's going to be better than my sermon. We could just display this graphic on the screen for a couple, 3 minutes, and they'll get the message. God uses my friend's artwork. I pray he uses it to inspire you, not just to be a great leader, but a good one. If you'd like to receive prayer, send us an email, care@capitalchurch.com. We'd love to know about your need and pray for your need. This is my prayer for all of you. May you strive to become great leaders, but not at the expense of becoming good leaders. Thanks for joining us. Grace and peace.